From the lakefront to the riverfront, this is where Wisconsin sports fans come to talk. The Bill Michaels Show, named Best Radio Show in the Wisconsin Broadcasters Awards for Excellence. Now, here's your host, Bill Michaels.
Welcome. Bill Michaels Show is on the air. We are glad you're on board today. 855-830-8648, 855-830-8648. It's really weird. I'm getting people that are wanting to hear the toilet story for whatever reason. I don't know why. Is it up on the website? Yeah, there it is. It's finally posted. So if you go to the website or you want to just download it on the podcast, it's at the end of the first hour of today's program. Somebody had texted me, said they're looking for it. They've got friends in the office. They were cracking up. They haven't heard it. And they're like angry. I can't believe it's on everybody. Whatever. Okay. It's up on the website. It is what. Chuck Freeman in here taking selfies. I'm photobombing selfies while we're on the air. We multitask in this studio. There's a lot going on. You don't realize it. We make it look easy. We're a duck. We're on the surface. Whack. Every now and then. Whack. We're moving around. We look calm. Cool. I got that mallard thing going with that cool necktie that those ducks wear. I've got it going on. Below the surface, there's crap happening you have no idea. I'm like George Costanza driving a car. There's so many things going on. I'm looking both out of the side view mirror, rear view mirror. I'm checking the seats. I'm making sure my seatbelt's on, checking all the signals, making sure I'm good. I'm monitoring all the bells and whistles that are on the front of the car, making sure the check engine light isn't going on. I'm making sure I'm in two-wheel drivers, four-wheel drivers, all-wheel drive. I'm good over here, baby. Good over here. We're good. Jeff Orlovsky in for Radio Joe Zanzola today, not crashing a car. Radio Joe worked with Chuck Freeman today, and the best part about it was they escaped the show without a death. Nobody choked anybody to death. It was a good day today.
That's a bonus.
That's a bonus right there. Chuck, I got to ask you right away. Grab the microphone. I know we should be talking Packers in this segment, but how was REO Speedwagon last night?
Oh, fantastic. I think they're Riverside Theater. I have not been in that place enough times. Just a beautiful facility for an event like that.
Yeah.
Full house at REO.
By the way, for those that are under the age of 35 listening to this program, pardon us for old guy radio for a minute, okay? So seriously, because we're going to talk about old dudes that were in grottos back when Hugh Hefner was 50.
Full house last night at REO, and you know they sang all the hits. What
now,
I like about REO,
here's
they do all the
REO.
Hits. They do all the hits.
I've seen REO numerous times, okay? Mm-hmm. One time I saw them, and they just rocked for 2.5 hours.
Yeah.
The other time I saw him, and Cronin would not shut up about all of his exploits and all the different places he's been with, all the different women he's been with, and finally, I'm yelling, just shut up and play the music.
Mm-hmm.
So how were they last night?
Oh, good. I think he's a great entertainer. You and I saw him together back a couple years ago
at Summerfest.
Before they opened up for Def Leppard.
Yes.
You and I saw
which
him
was
together.
A fantastic show,
it was.
By
it
the
was
way.
A great double bill.
I never thought that, I mean, I thought REO was good in that one, and mm-hmm. they were.
Yeah,
and I'm thinking, man, how's Def Leppard going to top this? And then Def Leppard came out and topped it.
They were. A lot of energy. REO, what I like about it is some of these bands could go out there, Bill, and these older bands, you know, the bands from, you know, our years when we grew up, and they could just mail it in. But REO
right.
doesn't. They go out there and they give it their all. You know, you see them sweating on the stage. And,
sure.
You know, I've always thought Kevin Cronin with REO and that whole band, whether they're playing in a casino in northern Michigan or the middle of Minnesota or Milwaukee, Wisconsin, they give it their all.
Yep.
It is all. You get the 100%. But last night, he even said, there was an extra little bit of juice inside the Riverside Theater.
Was there?
And Cronin even said that. He said, you know, there's just something, an extra little vibe here. And there was in the Riverside. You can't explain it, but there was just, it was like a little, it was different from REO shows that I have gone to where there was just a little bit of extra energy in the building.
Okay.
It was
good.
Cool.
Good
to hear. Cold night getting into the Riverside and, yeah, I love that facility.
Yeah, Riverside's a great place.
It is.
Yeah.
Now you're going. Aren't you going to see Styx there?
No, Styx is actually coming to
Green Bay.
They're coming to Green Bay. I'm not
Russia.
Going to that one. They called me and wanted to know if I wanted to go. And it's the end of the year. I think my kids are coming up, so I don't think I am. But they're going to play the post concert for the Milwaukee Admirals February 8th.
That's right. Now, you're friends with some of those guys.
So I am friends, I've told the story 1,000 times, but when I first started in Milwaukee doing radio, I got a call one day while I was on the air, and my producer whispers in my ear, he said, you know James Young? And I said, well, the only guy I know, James Young, is from JY from Styx.
Mm-hmm.
He said, that's who it is. And I said, there's no way. So I answered the phone, I'm like, hello, you know. off the air, of course. And I thought it was a buddy of mine screwing with me. And I'm like, F-O, I'm my first gig, you know, shut up. And I hung up on him. And I got a letter in the mail 2 weeks later with on the Sticks letterhead that said, you know, hey, myself and Tommy Shaw, and we were out. And they were writing the album Cyclorama at the time. And they just love sports talk.
Sure.
And so they weren't listening to the Chicago guys because they're all negative, and they were listening to me, and they wanted to say they appreciated it, and I hung up on them.
Oh, yeah. So,
so finally I had a chance to meet them backstage. We've been friends ever since. And every time they come to town, George, who's their stage manager and their road manager, calls me and says, hey, do you want to come hang out and go to dinner or whatever? So we usually do. So
yeah, I mean, those great old bands, if they and Styx is another group that just performs. And they're without Dennis DeYoung, but, I mean, they still give a lot of energy in their concert.
Honestly, without Dennis DeYoung, the guy that sings for them now sounds like him anyway. But now they just rock.
See, I saw Journey without Steve Perry at Summerfest. And
not
just,
the same.
Not the same.
Not the same.
The guy, he's working his rear end off out there on the stage, but it's
that's
just
like
not the same.
That's like dating Jessica Simpson now. You don't want that.
I still take that, though.
Yeah, you don't want that, though.
No, I just got to get rid of the mom jeans, but that we could work on that. Of course, after after the Riverside last night, Bill, Shannon, my girlfriend, Shannon, goes, she goes, oh, we need to go to the, we should go to the Calderon Club right down here. And I
said, oh, there you go.
This was like 10:15. I said, oh.
Yeah.
I said, Bill's boys, they're not there. They wouldn't be open at 10:15. Sure enough, walk in. Waitress says they're there. Our favorite waiter was there.
Alex is there.
And
Alex is fantastic. If you ever go to Calderon Club down there, Old World 3rd Street and Kilbourne, when you get there, Gino you want to talk to, but if you get Alex as your waiter, ciao bella. He is fantastic.
And he's a professional waiter.
Yes,
if there
is
one, he is one, man. That guy is a pro.
He's been there 30 years. He came out straight over from Italy.
So we walked in and we said, oh, you know, he thought he kind of recognized us. Oh, we're friends of Bill Michaels. We work with him. Oh, yeah. And then he pointed out all the spots that we've ate there with you.
Yeah.
And he knew it. And it's like, man, how do you remember all that?
He's fantastic. Alex is absolutely fantastic.
So she had the pizza and I had a bowl of a salad.
He only likes me because he gives Sherry hugs.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, he gives her a hug. He goes, oh, you're lumpy.
Oh, yeah. You lumpy or she?
No, her.
Oh.
She's lumpy.
She's lumpy
in the right places.
She's 110 pounds. Oh, okay,
I know.
I see.
There you go.
Yeah.
You see what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Now you get it.
Okay, yeah.
She's lumpy in the right area. Oh, you're beautiful. You're lumpy.
Yeah.
Yeah, you're lumpy in the right area.
Because if you say a girl's lumpy, they might think a few other things.
No, no. We know exactly what he meant. He gives her a hug that lasts forever.
Okay, it must be the Italian version for looking good, I guess.
Yeah, that's exactly right. She got a meatball that's in the right place.
Didn't have any pasta, just had the pizza last night. The pizza
was fantastic.
Fantastic.
So good night out.
And I text you a picture, and I like, man. And
I went to bed early last night.
Well, that's what we thought. I said, man, Bill hasn't got back to me.
Yeah.
She goes, oh, he's probably in bed.
I got to bed early.
Shannon goes, he's probably doing stuff in the house, and you know, his wife's got him doing so many things, he's probably passed out.
Yesterday was one of those days where I got home, and I was, because we're finishing up a lot of the rooms of the house, and trying to anyway. I was telling Jeff earlier, but the bar... I've got an electronic dartboard, and it's a Harley dartboard, and I need a plug for it because the plug, I can't, in the move, I lost it. I don't know where it's at. So I went down to Master's Ease, and I needed a plug. I needed some darts. I needed some dart lights, the whole thing, and I bought it all. I got home. Every damn thing I bought doesn't work. It's screwed up. Now, the darts work.
Okay.
But the dartboard, the AC adapter, it doesn't work. The lights I bought were batteries. They weren't plug-ins. They don't work. Everything, the flights that I bought for the darts that I currently have, they don't work right. They don't fit right. Everything I bought, I was just, so I finally said, tonight is just not meant to be. I had a beer and I went to bed.
Some days it's just not the cards.
It just wasn't.
It was, so were you getting ready for the ugly sweater party that you're going to have?
We're having the ugly sweater Christmas party is coming up in about a month.
So Shannon ordered ours on overseas the other day, and I said, yeah, get it in early because you don't never know. And I told
her. You never know. I got one. I ordered one from, now it comes from China because it's all written in funky lettering. I can't understand, you know? So I ordered two sweaters. Mm-hmm. And one is just, it's just a goofy looking sweater. It looks like one I had like ripped abs and everything, you know? And it's like Santa's wearing the big coat, but it's open, you know? And the other one is the front with Clark Griswold being shocked in National Lampoon's Christmas Vacation, right? And then there's a third one where it's a fat guy and the sweater doesn't button right and he's got ornaments through his nipples. All right? So I ordered them all in like 4X, just in case. Because you either get the sumo wrestler version or you get the guy that is tiny. They're all in 4X. They all came the other day, and the one wouldn't even fit my leg.
So a Chinese 4X is probably equivalent to the medium of an American?
Maybe.
Okay.
So one fits, and it kind of fits. It's a little snug, but it's kind of fits.
Oh, man.
The other one, the ripped ab one, that kind of fits. I can deal with that. But they all run really small. You mentioned Sherry. I bought Sherry some stuff from over there once, in a couple of those sites. And she's usually an extra small. She's like a double zero, size double zero. So I bought some stuff. I wouldn't even fit her leg. And then the next one I bought was the next size up, and it looked like it was made for Orlovsky over here.
Okay.
So it's hit or miss.
You're saying,
man,
I'm not a size double zero?
I'm saying that you aren't built by like my wife. Let's just say that.
Hey, you know what?
You know what? A hefty bag would fit us. That's about all we got going for us.
My girl Shannon's a double zero too, and when she tries to buy golf clothes and it's too big on her.
Yeah.
She said, this is like a dress on me.
Yep.
So
yep.
I don't know if they make triple zero, but yeah.
It is what it is. So just get it early, so that way you can start hunting around again.
Yeah. So what are
you
gonna
do? I just don't know where to go to find ugly sweaters.
Well, what are you going to do now that you're? I mean, that you're.
I may just cut it all up, rip it apart, and then go paint myself green.
Sew it all together.
Go as like a Hulk Grinch or something. You know, Hulk sad.
Yeah.
So do that. Who knows? Hey, you feeling good about the Packers, by the way?
I think I really do. Normally, I would not feel good, Bill, about going to Seattle and playing. They're a 3-point underdog. That tells me. Vegas is telling me right there, hey, why don't you come over here and take the Seattle Seahawks?
It's a 3-point
line.
Yeah.
I'm telling you, I was telling Orlovsky earlier today, I'm grabbing the 3 points, and I think the Packers are going to win this one outright.
You think the Packers are going to win it outright?
Yeah, I think Green Bay is going to win this one outright. I have never picked them in Seattle, and I think this is the game that the Packers finally win there. I think they're going to get the dev one there since, 2008. Is that what it was?
Yeah.
This is the time they get the job done. Now, Minnesota the following week, that might be that's a whole different animal. But I think, Bill, Seattle, they're going to run against that team. Rodgers is going to have a nice day. I know the Packers are a little banged up, but I think they win this game in Green Bay. Who are you guys taking?
I'm taking the Packers.
You think the Packers too?
I took the Packers in L.A. and I took the Packers in New England.
Uh-huh.
I just think eventually they're going to get it. I just do.
First road win. It would be their first road win. That's amazing. We're talking about, because if they win this game, I think they're full in the playoff race. I still think
if
the Bears,
they win this game, they have now breathing room to lose if they lose in Minnesota, and I think they can win out. I think they can beat every other team on the docket.
I don't think the Bears are going to run the table. They're 6-3 right now.
Well, the Bears play Minnesota on Sunday night.
They do, and I think
the Bears turn back around and have to go to Detroit. On Thursday morning on Thanksgiving Day. They got a tough schedule. They got 3 games in 12 days.
I think they could lose twice in 5 days against divisional teams.
I do too.
And that puts them at 6-5, and the Packers
have not won back-to-back divisional games since 2015.
Hey, we've seen this before with the Bears getting off to, and I know the history doesn't, you can't base history on the present, but the Bears have had leads in the division at this point of the season and have blown it.
Right.
Most specifically, 2013, I remember they had a 2.5-game lead on the Packers, and the Packers won the division on the final day of the season at Soldier Field.
Here's the other question. Who are you rooting for this weekend when it comes to the Bears and the Vikings? Because technically, you should be rooting for the Vikings.
No, the Vikings, yeah.
Vikings are 5-3 and 1.
Yeah.
Bears are 6-3.
Yeah.
If the Vikings beat the Bears, and the Vikings are 6-3, the Bears are 6-4, and the Green Bay Packers can get a win, then they're only a game behind both, and therefore they still then control their own destiny because they play the Vikings again and they play the Bears again.
Yeah.
If the Packers get a win over the Vikings, they will not have split. The Packers would then have a win and a tie, where the Vikings would have a loss and a tie.
They
would have 2 wins over the Bears, therefore they're going back to control their own destiny.
I think the Bears are the team you're chasing. I don't think the Packers get in based on a wild card. Now, if you're thinking wild card, the Seattle game is huge for that because you can eliminate them. Do you think they can get in as a wild card?
Yeah, because that tie is going to loom big if they get to 10 wins.
That missed field goal, how about that?
Yeah,
yeah.
That missed field goal, well, I mean, I was saying this earlier. You look at the Packers and the way they're set up. Had they not missed a field goal against the Vikings, they make the field goals against the Detroit Lions. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
They don't fumble away the football, give Aaron Rodgers the opportunity against St. Louis. You're talking about the possibility of three wins
right there.
The season is drastically, yeah. drastically different because now you're talking, what, 7-1?
But, you know, good teams got to finish that off.
6-2-1.
They've played fourth quarter games in their last two.
Yeah.
They were in there against New England and the Rams, as you mentioned there. And I think this is going to be a victory. If they don't win against Seattle, hey, you know what? I don't want to see this team back into the postseason. I want to see them play well if they're going to make the postseason. And I think they are. I think they have the capability.
You got to win on the road, and you got to beat a good team eventually.
Because they got to go on the road and play in the playoffs anyway.
Right now, your signature wins against the Bears.
Yeah.
At home against a team that's now 6-3.
Yeah.
And it took Aaron Rodgers to come back in the second half of that game. Technically, you beat a team with a winning record in Miami this past week because Miami had a winning record. They were 5-4, but remember, they started off 3-0, and they've been tanking ever since. So, you know, that's your only signature win right now is the Bears.
I never liked that philosophy the Packers used to have, Bill, where they said, go undefeated at home and split. Go 4-4 on the road. There's your 12 wins. I never liked that because, you go an 8-0 and a home, that's difficult. And the Packers have done it before, but it's just difficult to ask.
It's a big ask.
And you're asking your team to lose four times on the road.
Going to talk about it all coming up tonight. Mike Clemens is going to join us. John Dodd's going to join us. We're going to be at Libby Montana's on Dodges Bay Road. As the Bill Michaels Huddle back out on the road again this evening. It's brought to you by our friends at Bud Light. Stay tuned. More of the Bill Michaels Show coming up next.
Everywhere in Wisconsin, the Bill Michaels Sports Talk Network.
Welcome back. Bill Michaels Show on the air. We are glad you're on board today. Thanks, as always, for taking a listen to us. We certainly appreciate it. I'm Bill Michaels. Jeff Orlowski across, filling in for Radio Joe, who was off from this program the rest of the week, doing the morning show locally the rest of the week. So if you want to chime in, feel free to do so. 855-830-8648, 855-830-8648. You can give us a shout. If you would like to, 855-830-864. You can also hit us up on Twitter, as many of you have. That is @Bill_Michaels, @Bill_Michaels there as well. Track us down. And you can also find us over on the Facebook fan page. You can drop us an email, whatever it happens to be right there. That is simply Facebook.com/TheBillMichaelsShow. Facebook.com/TheBillMichaelsShow. Plenty of ways to go. So there you go. 855-830-8648, 855-830-8648, if you want to chime in, do it. We talked a little Bucks basketball yesterday. We're going to talk some Bucks basketball coming up here shortly. Eric Name, Bucks reporter for The Athletic, is going to be joining us. Bucks getting ready to take on the Memphis Grizzlies, and can they stay hot tonight down at the Five Serve Forum? We have some buy or sell coming up here in the next hour as well, so stay tuned for that. Here's the other side note, and I got to admit, here's two retractions, okay? I don't usually get into that, but if I'm wrong, I'm wrong. But first of all, the Le'Veon Bell thing. Le'Veon Bell, there was some erroneous information out there, and I was a part of it, so I apologize for that. Le'Veon Bell did not report yesterday to the Pittsburgh Steelers. Therefore, at the time, I was led to believe, and I thought, that because he did not report, did not fulfill his contract, that he was then still the property of the Pittsburgh Steelers. Nay, nay. There is a codicil that says that if you are a veteran with so many years experience, that you then become a free agent if you sit out for an entire season. That's what he is going to become, a free agent next year. Now, the way he went about his business, I don't agree with. And in addition to that, he has passed up $14 million this past year that he would have made had he played for the Pittsburgh Steelers. But him and his agent are demanding that he not be categorized as a running back. Now, you can say that's fine, and okay, we're not going to categorize you as that. But the bottom line is you're a running back. You're lining up in the backfield. He lines up as a running back and goes out and catches many passes as he does runs. They utilize him in many different facets, okay? Which is fine. But the bottom line is you're still labeled as a running back. You're still carrying the football. You're still going to line up in the backfield more often than not. I don't know what team is going to turn around. He turned down a contract, what was it, 5 years, $70 million or something like that. The problem was, I think only $14 or $17 million was guaranteed, and he said that was nowhere. That was a slap in the face. Now, we know what the shelf life is of a running back in the NFL. I don't know what he's going to get. He may get a little bit more guaranteed money and say it turned out to be the right deal for him. But in doing so, he turned down $14 million this year. So say he gets $20 million guaranteed or $25 million guaranteed. He'll get $10 million guaranteed. But will he make more money in the long run? I don't know. For what he's thinking and asking and the way he went about his business, I don't know if he's going to get that amount of money. And let's be honest, he has not played now in the NFL an entire year. There's going to be a lot of teams that are going to, when you're out, you're out. You know, he's going to say, well, I'm fresh, I'm back, my body's great, it's rested, it's going to give you an extra year. I don't know. You burn like a comet in the NFL, and then your time is done. I don't know if he's going to, I think he might have overstepped his bounds on this. I will be surprised if there's a team out there that just loads up on a big deal for him. Maybe he gets a little more guaranteed money, but in the long run, I don't know if it's going to end up making him more money. So we'll see. But so anyway, long story short, he is now a free agent. I thought he went back to the Steelers, but he is now a free agent. So that's the first thing. The second thing is, I really thought that the NFL would figure out a way to make Mexico work just because of the money. And I guess what had happened was some people had flown some drones over Estadio Azteca and saw the field. And it's deplorable. It's awful. And those pictures leaked out before the NFL could really get a handle on it. And therefore, the pressure on the NFL to move this game back to the States was so enormous. And they would have taken such an incredibly bad PR hit. They had no choice but to move this game back to LA. It was supposed to be the game between the Chiefs and the Rams this coming week. And that was going to be down in Mexico. But they had no choice. They had to move this thing back to the States. Otherwise, the blatant disregard for player safety would have been so obvious that they would never win another court case against the Players Association because it would be all about the money. And we know it is. Okay, and I've said this before. I'll say it again. Look, if the NFL could get away with it, they would stage a game in a gravel driveway if they could make a couple of million dollars off of it before they would ever give a damn about player safety. But the pressure from the outside was so insurmountable, the NFL felt the need to move this game back to the States. So they did. So,
well, you had players on both teams, both the Rams and the Chiefs, threatening to sit out
right.
because they didn't want to take the risk of getting injured on
Correct.
That field.
Correct. It was so bad. And you know what? Shame on the NFL for getting to this point.
Yeah, but Bill, okay, so they found out it was bad a couple days ago. The NFL sent...
How do you find out just a couple of days ago it's this bad? Why would you not be monitoring it?
Well, of course.
After what happened at Wembley Stadium years ago, they monitor that field like crazy now.
Oh, I know. But so they found out. Okay, you're telling me they couldn't have resodded that field in a week?
They've done it for NFC and AFC championship games.
They pull the field off in Arizona after every single game. So if they really wanted to play this game, they could have thrown a new field on there easy.
They could have.
I think it's because it's such a marquee matchup, and now all of a sudden L.A. doesn't want to give up the home game in L.A. because of how important this game is.
Yeah.
If it was the Buffalo Bills against the Jets or Cleveland and Cincinnati or, you know, two teams like that down there, I bet they'd still play.
I would agree with that. I would agree with that. I look at it this way, that this team had the opportunity, or this league had the opportunity to a long time ago to figure this thing out, and they didn't. So they had insurmountable pressure, and they just weren't able to overcome it, so they had to pull it. And now we'll see what they do. Now they've said, well, we're going to pull this thing out of here next year, too, if this isn't fixed. The NFL has egg on its face. But
yeah,
the PR hit for playing the game there versus not playing the game there would have been so much worse. So they decided to go ahead and yank it out of there. So two areas where I thought one thing would happen and the other happened. And so I'm going to go ahead and that's my retraction portion of the program today. There you have it.
All right.
We're going to talk some Bucks basketball when we come back. Eric Name, Bucks reporter for The Athletic, is going to be joining us. This portion of the program brought to you by our friends at Cousin Subs. Picture yourself sitting on the 50-yard line, Lambeau Field, plush leather recliners, great seats, best seats in the house, as a matter of fact. And it's all brought to you by Cousin Subs. Go to Packers.com/best seats. That's Packers.com/best seats, and you can win the best seats in the house contest, compliments of Cousin Subs. By the way, they are the official sub sandwich provider of the Bill Michaels Sports Talk Network. Stay tuned. More of the Bill Michaels Show next.
Wisconsin-wide, the Bill Michaels Sports Talk Network.
Welcome back. Bill Michaels Show on the air. We are glad you're on board today. This portion of the program being brought to you by our friends at Quick Trip. And just a reminder about our friends over at Quick Trip. They got a lot of great specials going on right now. If you are looking for something in the realm of like a gift card, I mean, this time of year, everybody's looking for something, right? Everybody's looking for something good. So if you're going to be looking for a gift card for somebody, select gift card from participating partners. You can get 10 cents off per gallon of fuel if you have the rewards card. You can choose from a variety of gift cards, including Amazon and Xbox and Uber and all kinds of stuff. By the way, today, rib sandwiches are $1 at Quick Trip. Rib sandwiches, $1 at Quick Trip, which is kind of like the McRib. I don't want to say it's 100%, but it's kind of like it. If you haven't eaten one, they're pretty good. So today, only the $1 rib sandwich. And don't forget, if you go in and you get yourself a gift card, you can get yourself 10 cents off per gallon of fuel as well. But you got to have the rewards card. Get the rewards card first, and you're good to go. So there you have it. That is our friends from over at Quick Trip. Bringing me now, talk some Bucks basketball. Eric Name of The Athletic, the Bucks reporter, joining us on the Schneider Orange Hotline. Eric, how you doing?
I'm great. How are you?
Doing well today. So first and foremost, give me your thoughts of the road trip.
I mean, it's a tough one because they get the 2-2 record, which I think is probably a winning proposition when you think about the difficulty of that road trip. It just went the exact opposite way you would have expected, because, you know, going into that road trip, you're thinking, all right, if you're going to get two, try to get this Blazers one to start it, and then, you know, get a day off after losing to the Warriors, and then, you know, you get the Nuggets you get the Clippers on Saturday, win that one, and then, you know, you get your two wins. You probably lose on the back-to-back in altitude against the Denver Nuggets, and you probably lose against the Warriors because they're the Warriors, and, you know, you deal with it. You got your two wins. They did the exact opposite, which was really interesting, and, I mean, really turned into, I think, probably their two biggest wins of the year. You look at anytime you beat the Golden State Warriors, it's a huge deal. Anytime you beat them at Oracle, it's a huge deal. Obviously, Draymond Green was out that night. Steph Curry ended up getting hurt. But, I mean, I thought we saw the Bucks play some of the best basketball we've seen them play thus far this season in that second and third quarter against the Warriors. So I thought that was a huge deal. And then just on Sunday, the idea that, you know, you somehow managed to win a back-to-back in altitude against the Denver Nuggets when the Nuggets had a great offensive performance that day. Like, that is a really tough place to play. That's a schedule loss. They go through at the start of the year and talk about all the games you should expect to be a schedule loss, just because in the NBA, you know, there's certain back-to-backs, there's certain places, and, you know, the guys that make the schedule can kind of see that, okay, that's going to be a schedule loss. That was one of the games for the Bucks this year that was looked at as a schedule loss, and they somehow managed to win it. And, I mean, I just thought it was a huge win and kind of, to me, showed the resolve of this team. So often this year, they've lost three games, and every time after they've won the game immediately following the loss, and every single time they've done it, they've mentioned that, you know, we felt like we let that other one get away, or, you know, we wanted to get right back on track. And I keep looking at the guys on the team and keep asking, like, hey, you know, this is their NBA. Like, teams go on two-game losing streaks, three-game losing streaks, four-game losing streaks. That's part of the gig. Like, that's kind of how this works. Like, why are you guys so crazy about making sure you don't let that fester? And Giannis told us, like, we're not trying to be a good team this year. We're trying to be a great team. And great teams don't let those losing streaks pile up. And, I mean, I just think that might be, to me, the most impressive thing this year, that, you know, they haven't lost two in a row yet. that every time they've lost, they've had the answer ready to go for that next game.
The one thing that I can say is going back to the game against the Warriors, they get the win, and that's fantastic. It's always, to me, about stacking success. Do you have that letdown game after that? That Clippers game, I thought, boy, that was one of those. That's one of those learning moments where, yeah, they came back and they got a good win over Denver, and I get it. But they could have ended up with a much, much better road trip and feeling even better about themselves had they stacked success and learned how to handle it after a big win against the Warriors, correct?
Yeah, I mean, that's just a tough one. I think the stats on games that played in L.A. against the Clippers before 1 p.m. on a weekend, I believe the record in that game against the Clippers is 38-51, and that's the Clippers. Like, that's not games in L.A. at that time. So I think the statement is always L.A. nightlife is undefeated, and the stats kind of bear that out, that teams really do struggle in those games. And I mean, I think the Clippers are a really, I mean, they're a strong team this year. Maybe in the end they won't end up being one of the top five teams in the Western Conference like they are right now, but you know, I do think they are a good team. So that's a good point. I mean, I think you want to stack those wins. You don't want to get too fat and happy after just one victory. And I think any team could kind of look at a win in Oracle in that way. So, yeah, I think you're probably going to look back at that and hope and wish that that was a 3-1 road trip rather than a 2-2 road trip. But, yeah, I think the result that they showed on Sunday was enough for me to say, like, okay, these guys are really serious about being a good team this year. You always want one more, but to be 10-3 through 13 and have the NBA's toughest strength of schedule at this point, I think just a really strong start from this team.
How big of a boost has it been to get valuable minutes from DiVincenzo and Connaughton?
I think it's been huge. And, I mean, we've kind of seen in the last week, we've seen Connaughton in some ways take Dante DiVincenzo's spot in the rotation. So at the start of the year, Dante DiVincenzo was playing about 20 minutes or so per game. Connaughton was out of the rotation for the first three games, and then after that it was thrown into it, and now he's been getting about 13 to 15 minutes per game. Now those two have kind of flipped, where Connaughton is taking more of the minutes and DiVincenzo's fallen a little bit in the rotation, but still the fact that you're getting 30 minutes a night out of those two guys is just huge to this team. And they really have, both those guys have a knack for just finding a way to make an impact. And they haven't had big scoring nights. They haven't had, Connaughton's had like one or two great shooting nights. But, you know, for the most part, Connaughton, the thing that's impressed me is he's blocked threes in each of the last two games. He's all over the floor. He manages to find a way to grab a rebound. He manages to find a way to dunk a guy when he gets a backdoor cut against somebody. DiVincenzo's been flying all over the floor. He's been able to get his hands on some offensive rebounds, keep possessions alive. Like, those two just have a knack for finding a way to get things done. And, I mean, that can be so important for guys that are, you know, anywhere between 7 and 10 in your rotation. It's just huge.
Talking with Eric Name of The Athletic, covering the Milwaukee Bucks, and then you move forward, you look at other guys that are on this roster, much like a guy like Ersan Ilyasova, even John Henson, Thon Maker. We know about the starters and about what they've been able to do, but it's been the guys that are coming off the bench that's really kind of sustained this team, hasn't it?
Yeah, I mean, this team has just ended up being solid. And I know I started telling people about this at the start of the year, but you know, we were just talking about Connaughton. Connaughton played 82 games last year, played 18 minutes per game in those 82 games, and he did it for a playoff team. He did it for the Portland Trailblazers. So this is a guy that, you know, was a contender on was a contributor on a playoff team last year, and to start the season, he wasn't even in the Bucks rotation, and that just speaks to the depth that this team has. That, you know, a guy like that could, at the start of the year, find his way out of the rotation, and now he is in it as they've gone to a 10-man rotation. But, you know, just 6 through 10, you look at guys that just find a way to contribute. Obviously, DiVincenzo and Connaughton, Tony Snell, even though he's had a smaller role this year, still has found a way to be almost a nearly 50% three-point shooter. He just comes in and he makes shots and he goes about his business defensively. John Henson, is shooting 38% from three. He's hit some big shots and he's still blocking shots like he normally does. And then Ersan Ilyasova, I've written about him before at the Athletic Wisconsin, and you know, he's just that consummate pro. He's that guy that everyone on the team trusts and everyone knows he will get the job done when he's out there on the floor. So, yeah, I mean, the starting lineup has obviously been great, but 6 through 10 on this roster has found a way to contribute night in and night out.
Eric Name of The Athletic joining us on the Schneider Orange Highlight. One more question here before I let you go, and that is they faced a little adversity. How do you think Coach Budenholzer has handled some of that? Now, I'm talking about a loss. I'm not talking about major adversity like a major injury or anything, but how do you think he's handled that as a coach and kind of keeping these guys together on the same page and bringing them back?
Yeah, it was kind of interesting. I mentioned what I said earlier to Mike Budenholzer that, you know, we keep talking to players and all the players keep telling us that, you know, they need to bounce back after a loss and, you know, that all these wins after losses are really important. And he joked, he's like, well, they must just save that stuff for you guys because they don't tell me any of that. It was funny to hear from him that, you know, his players have just kind of taken on, I think in many ways, his personality. We've talked about before that, you know, Mike Budenholzer doesn't really find the need to scheme for teams during the regular season. They don't deviate their game plan. They don't go out of their way to say, okay, well, the Warriors do this, so we're going to run a completely different defensive scheme tonight to win this game. That's not what they do. They just run their stuff. And I think what that has led to has just been this kind of laser focus on themselves that, you know, they're not thinking about whether or not they lost that game. They're thinking about how well they played in that game and whether or not they did everything in their power to win it and the things that they did wrong and, you know, how they can get refocused and figure out a way to get better in that regard. And I just think it has been huge to this season. So I think in many ways, it's kind of surprising through 13 games to see them so strongly take on the personality of their coach and that they're just focused on themselves. They're going to continue to improve and they're going to keep finding ways to get better. And I mean, I think a lot of that goes back to the head coach and the things that Mike Budenholzer has told them to focus on thus far.
Eric, great stuff. Certainly appreciate it. We'll talk to you again next week. Okay.
I look forward to it.
Appreciate it, pal. Talk to you soon. There you go. Eric Name of The Athletic joining us for a couple of minutes on the Schneider Orange Hotline. Schneider hiring drivers right now. You work hard. They treat you fair. 80-plus years of making it done. Call them 844-PRIDE or go to schneiderjobs.com. 844-PRIDE. Or go to SchneiderJobs.com. More of the Bill Michaels Show coming up next.
You're listening to the Bill Michaels Sports Talk Network. Come, my lady, come, my lady, you're my butterfly, sugar, baby. Come, my lady, come, my lady, you're my butterfly, sugar. Such a sexy, pretty little thing. This April bitch, you got me sprung with your tongue ring. And I ain't gonna lie, cause your loving gets me high. So to keep you by my side, there's nothing that I won't try. Butterflies in her eyes and her looks to kill.
Welcome back, Bill Michaels Show on the air. We are glad you're on board today, as always. Thanks so much. Reminding you that, hey, guys, take a listen, by the way, if you've got the ED, the erectile dysfunction going on. Don't be deceived by all the noise out there about this pill or that pill. It can be caused by many underlying health issues or just, you know, normal aging. The problem with the pills are they don't get to the root of the problem, and they have some nasty side effects. So call the medical experts at Neumel Medical Center. They're going to create an ED solution especially for you. And if you don't see results in your first visit, that visit is free. And if you're sluggish and moody and brain fog and all that kind of stuff and you don't have great energy or stamina, thanks to Neumel, I have plenty of energy to tackle my crazy life. It could be low T, and all you got to do is go in and get tested. It's simple. Just a phone call. That's it. If you want to shed some pounds, lose some weight, check out Neumel's all-in-one weight loss program. I ended up losing over 50 pounds, really about 70. I put about 10 back on, and I've been maintaining ever since. It's been fantastic. feel younger, get back in the game, more energy. It's fantastic. It's great. I know that's the adjective that I've chosen to use, but that's okay because it's true. Just call Neumel Medical Center, 414-455-4451. That's 414-455-4451. Call in the day again, 414-455-4451. Bucks basketball coming up tonight. We'll talk some more Packers coming up as well. Steve Vrabel, by the way. He is the radio play-by-play voice of the Seattle Seahawks. Steve has been on the program numerous times. He's going to join us coming up in the next hour, and I believe right after the top of the hour, as a matter of fact. We're going to talk with him coming up, and he's a great guy. Steve is a man. He just is. Steve is a man. So we'll talk with him coming up here shortly. I had mentioned the Bucks basketball tonight back at the Fiserv Forum. Coming up a little bit later on this evening, 7 o'clock Central Time, Bucks and Grizzlies down there. And when it comes to the wins and loss and totals, and Bucks should get a win in this one. This is a game that should, I mean, Grizzlies 7-5, 2-4 on the road so far this season. The Bucks overall 10-3 and have yet to lose at the Fiserv Forum. And I don't think they should be losing anytime soon. So that's coming up tonight. Downtown Milwaukee. Then tomorrow night, you've got the game as the Packers on the road taking on the Seattle Seahawks. We'll continue to talk about that coming up in the next hour. We got some buy or sell right around the corner, and then we're going to start wrapping things up for today. But good stuff today. Keep it coming, by the way, via emails and also on Twitter. It's been a lot of great interaction today. Tweet us at @Bill_Michaels, @Bill_Michaels. You can follow us there as well, @Bill_Michaels, or drop me an email, BillMichaels@BillMichaelsSports.com. That's BillMichaels@BillMichaelsSports.com. There you have it. Another hour yet to go. Steve Vrabel, radio play-by-play voice of the Seattle Seahawks. He will join us coming up next in the Bill Michaels Show.